Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today, Linda Combs, as one of the four candidates for two seats on the Palmer City Council that will be voted on October 3rd, coming up fairly soon. Welcome, Linda.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
First question, and it's a multi-part type of question, so I'll run through it. How do you see yourself working with others serving on the council? Part of that is, do you collaborate well across ideological divides? And lastly, although local elected positions are considered nonpartisan, how do you view political parties or ideology as influences on the current race?
Well, it's not just considered nonpartisan. By charter, our great leaders of the time in the 50s, like most municipalities, determined that at a local level, things should be nonpartisan. And I agree with that 100%. I have never seen anything come to the table in the last 20, 25 years that is strictly partisan or pushed by one particular platform. And I think that's something to be very pleased about. Most people are very open about if they're registered to a party or not, but it just doesn't come to the city council table. And that, in my opinion, is the correct way to do it. I believe that partisan politics just would bog us down. And it takes, as everybody knows, it takes long enough to get anything done through the government. So I haven't had any difficulties, I don't believe, in collaborating with anyone that's on the council currently or even in the last 6 years. In particular, I either would agree with them or I wouldn't. But I do feel that I've been open-minded. I've changed my mind a few times, but I usually have a fairly good sense after my own research and my own history with the city of Palmer of just where I am personally going to be going.
Okay. Thank you. Question number two, how do you reach your constituents, especially those feeling left out of the public policy conversation or those that may feel disenfranchised?
I seem to be talking to constituents in one form or fashion pretty much on a daily basis, whether it's in the grocery store aisle, on the telephone, through Facebook, social media type things, or the fact that I have, published I have a single phone line that's strictly what it's for and into my house. That's the way it's been in my house for the last 17 years. So don't very often speak to anyone that feels like they're disenfranchised because they've reached someone to talk to. I do know that when I first ran in 2011, one of the reasons I did was that I felt that communications were somewhat broken with City Hall, not only with the businesses in City Hall, but with everyday citizens. I just consider that part of the job, whether I'm, like I said, shopping or my phone rings on a regular basis with different constituents. I've been told that I'm one of the most responsive of the council people, that even if they have to leave a message, I make it a policy to return a call and hopefully with the correct information for them within a 24-hour period of time. So I'm sorry. I haven't talked to anybody who specifically tells me they feel like they're completely and totally left out of the city's business.
Okay. Thank you. Question number three. What is your stance on term limits? The Assembly, for example, has limits. I think that's good or bad. And the Palmer City Council has discussed a ballot initiative about term limits. Should there be more discussion?
I know about the discussions that we've had on term limits. It was first introduced officially, anyway, on May 10th of 2016. And then we had a public hearing in July of the same year and voted whether or not to put it on the ballot on August 9th of 2016. I personally am not completely in favor of it. I'm not against more discussion, but I do remember that part of the discussion at that time was that the system we had actually is working. If you look at the public records, we regularly have a turnover of one or more seats just through the voting process. I think that's what those people that put together our charter back in the 50s saw. They saw that there would be times when we would have four and five people. I believe it was just a couple years ago, we had as many as five people running for two seats. Then a few years before that, there was only two people running for two seats. So I think they saw that there would be a kind of a waxing and a waning of interest, or individuals that were willing to put themselves out in front. So I kind of like the flexibility of what we have now. I know what has been said is voting for someone else is, in fact, a form of term limits. And at the moment, anyway, while I'm open to listening more, that's the way I'm leaning. I will say that I specifically in my canvassing of some constituents here in Palmer in the last couple weeks, I specifically asked this question on a regular basis. One day in particular, I asked 22 different households and didn't get a single one of them saying that they thought we needed term limits. So I get a little confused when I read things that say that there was an overwhelming response to having term limits back in 2016, when in fact the public records show that there were 10 emails in favor of it. But that does 10 emails when you have approximately 4,000 registered voters within the city just isn't overwhelming, in my opinion. Not that their voice shouldn't be heard. It should be heard, and it was heard. It just did not weigh heavily on the side of putting a proposal on the ballot at that time. I hope that answers your question, Mike.
I think so. Thank you very much. Mike Malevsky here with Linda Combs, one of four candidates for two seats on the Palmer City Council. Question number four, how do you view your relationship with the state as a local policymaker, and what would you like to see the state provide to the city of Palmer in light of the current fiscal crisis? And lastly, tying this all up, do you support being a member of statewide organizations such as the Alaska Municipal League in order to influence state policies?
I certainly do believe in the Alaska Municipal League. It's a tremendous organization. I think it helps local officials in many, many ways, most of all, in unifying their voice. I have participated in the Alaska Municipal League conferences and several of their workshops. It certainly is a marvelous tool for many of us. I get along reasonably well and count as friends. As a matter of fact, several of our legislators, I've been around the political scene, as if that's the way you want to phrase it, again, for a good solid about 20 years. And over the years, I've gotten to know many of the folks that are representing us in Juneau. And I feel that I get along well with them, which is good. I serve currently also on the Governor's Commission on Aging. And so in both respects, whether it be advocating something for our senior population, which is growing both here in Palmer and in our state, or it's when I'm representing the city of Palmer. Kind of take both hats with me when I go to Juneau or to any meetings where I'm going to be talking to the legislators. But I feel like you would be, if you kind of canvass those that know me, that you, they would say that even when we disagree, we're able to work together.
Okay, thank you. Question number five. What is your perspective on the way the city council functions currently? And if you believe there should be changes, what, if any, do you propose? For example, a full-time or strong mayor?
I've been in favor of a full-time, not necessarily a strong mayor, for a long time. If anybody looks at the past history, they would probably understand that. What I have seen is that there is an ability for the city to function at an even higher level if you've got a good relationship between a mayor that's available quite a bit with a good, strong city manager and a council that backs them both. I've seen it work. I've seen it work out really, really well. So I would not be adverse to that. However, I'd have to go back to, I still think that what has worked for Palmer the majority of the time has been the council manager form of government. And I don't see any need, at least at this time, to change it. We've gone through a lot of things, as you, Mike, and most of the folks listening know. In particular, in the last 15 years, we've gone through a tremendous amount of growth. What I'm really pleased about is we've managed to balance mayors, council people, managers over the last 5 or 6 years, and we are poised to weather this recession in an okay fashion. I won't say a great fashion, but I think we're solid, and it's because we've had those great relationships. We've looked at the process we've had. We've made it work.
Okay, thank you. Question number six. Should you win election and serve on the council, what topics have you identified as most important to you?
Right now, I'm really concerned with, number one, and have recently talked to the chief of police about this, but I, on a regular basis, I want to make sure that we are budgeting the funding that's necessary for our police department, because public safety needs to come first. We all know that there's a rising crime rate in the state of Alaska for a variety of reasons. I think we're not in too bad a shape. I'm not saying that we don't have some crime, because we do. It's being looked at hard. However, what we do have is a well-trained force, and that is a concern for me. The second one is I'm not in a particular mood to be authorizing any new quote-unquote studies. We have excellent economic development plans, infrastructure plans, all sorts of things that some of them are collecting dust on the shelves. I really would like to see absolutely all of those off the shelf, dusted off, and a checklist done. What have we done? What have we accomplished? What is left to do? Is it still a need or a necessary? It's really easy to come up with a bright and shiny new idea and just kind of leave those great ideas that were great when they were proposed and started, you know, behind us. A good example of that is the water and sewer projects and street paving. You know, we're not finished. We need to keep first and foremost in front of us what we've promised, what we've been looking at, and not leave it in the dust because three-fourths of it is done. Obviously, funding is the big key to almost all of these. Really pleased with our staff, our council, for being creative, looking outside the box when it comes to funding. And so we just, I think we need to look at what we've been successful with and continue to do that. that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be open to new ideas, but I think we need to still keeping the promises that were made in the past.
Okay. I've asked a series of questions. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we finish?
Well, again, I think if you were to look at what's been published by City Hall about what has been accomplished this year, I think you would be maybe a little surprised. If it's not something you drive by every day, you might not notice it. I know one thing that's been brought up is, for example, ADA compliant sidewalks. I know that we've done $110,000 worth of ADA compliant work this year. It's accomplished. It's a matter of public record that it's been done. So is there more to do? I imagine there is, or somebody wouldn't be talking about it. But we're working on it, and I'm really proud of that. I'm really really pleased and proud of the council that we have and the work that we do. I've been so honored to be able to contribute to my community in this way, and I hope to be able to continue to do so.
All right. Thank you, Linda Combs, for coming in today.